Land use and development private planner consultant Craig Minas worked for the development arm of the Tobes Group for many years, and he now has his own firm, CAM Land Use and Development. He was on a while back involved in the development project downtown with the existing Jiffy Lube property that's now moved on. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Craig Minas.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
So I guess your middle name starts with an A, CAM Land Use and Development.
Yeah, that's right. So Craig Andrew Minas, that's how you get the CAM.
Now, is it just too hokey for your catchphrase to be, it's a plus to work with Minas?
Yeah, absolutely. I've heard every joke under the sun about the Minas last name.
Yeah, right. Well, I was going to say, I'm sure I wasn't the first yokel to bring that up. So,
but people remember it, right? Minas is a pretty unique last name.
I think it is. I was too bad your parents could have thought of a first name that would have kind of gone with Minas, you know, plus Minas, but that wouldn't make sense. But I don't think I don't think there's a name that would go, or Mark Minas. If you had the M, that would be good. Mark Minas, change your name. So you're involved in development, and I'm not even sure where to start. I was at, you know, you looked at the UCSB Economic Summit, and one of the things mentioned was to the city, and I'm sure the city council was sitting there in the front row, that they were suggesting that the city guarantee a 12-month time frame to get entitlement projects through. And they thought this would encourage a development. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, that would definitely help. I mean, I think, you know, again, my background, I'm a trained planner. You know, I went to school for land use planning. I've operated as a developer and kind of really got to know real estate development from a, you know, permitting and entitlement perspective. And, you know, Mark, the biggest challenge, I guess, or what would really benefit real estate development is if we can find things that reduce the amount of time and risk involved. You know, real estate development is, I mean, it's an investment, it's a business, it's, you know, very expensive to get involved with land costs and development costs. And, you know, when you have, when you can't predict your time to hit your milestones, you know, in permits or design or construction, you know, that time is you know, significant. I mean, it costs a tremendous amount of money. Any delay in time could, you know, is the difference of kind of making and breaking a project. So, you know, if we talk about a guarantee of time to process something, clearly that's, you know, that would be a welcoming news to a developer. Now, you know, how we actually do that, I don't know if it's feasible. You know, the development entitlement process is very bureaucratic. You know, traditionally any applicant would have to kind of process through multiple departments and agencies, you know, to meet the development standards, and inherently there's always some conflicts there. You know, you could be processing really well, meeting all development standards for, you know, these four or five agencies, and then there's these two that you're struggling to get through, and you know, that can impact the time and risk in getting your project done. So, yeah, I mean, the 12-month guarantee is great. I'd like to, I definitely need to be involved on how we actually get that done, because I see a lot of barriers to that. And just how we manage that. I mean, I really think at some point, you know, we need a champion on the, you know, authority agency side to say, hey, you know, this is a housing project. This is something that's needed. And we need the help on the agency side to say, hey, you know, we've got these hurdles to get through. These agencies are, you know, we've got these difficult standards. How can we work together and get this thing done?
My guest is Craig Minas. He owns his own company, CAM Land Use and Development, but he cut his teeth, did a lot of work for Michael Tobes, and of course, Michael Tobes owns a lot of real estate, a lot of, but you brought up something really interesting, and I think so many people, like I know The Independent had written some column about the UCSB Economic Summit, and was very critical of The Economist. And just, I don't think people understand what you were just going through. And even though I was kind of aware of it, it brought it home because there's so many different departments. It's not like you walk into the city and there's Mr. City Decider sitting across the desk and you go, what do you think of this? And he goes, it sounds good to me, you know, and he has a big rubber stamp and all these different departments. And all these pitfalls, so yeah. If you said we need a champion to kind of make housing a priority, that's the. If someone who's been in the business as long as you, who's gone through the process dozens of times, if you can't tell me how to make it happen, maybe it can happen.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that's exactly it. I mean, you know. Any applicant, I mean, you're going to deal with planning, you're going to deal with public works, you're going to deal with engineering, you're going to deal with the fire department, you're going to deal with environmental health services, you're going to deal with all of the design authorities, you know, and each of them, you know, rightfully so, they have standards to uphold. And that's, you know, kind of part of the process. That's customary and you know, what to be expected. But the challenge is, again, you know, if you hit any pitfalls or hurdles with any of those, you could come to a standstill. And, you know, there's no prioritization on, you know, if we can satisfy the fire department, does that supersede, you know, some other standards? And so, again, you know, if there was that champion on the agency side to say, hey, look, okay, gosh, we're 90% of the way through on this. You know, how do we work through that last 10%? You know, in the interest of kind of, you know, keeping on the time and in reducing risk, time, you know, frame.
Now, framework, certainly, you know, you don't want to slide things through. You don't want to, you know, avoid. Right, you got to go through. You know, you don't want to. But like you say, if you're 90% there and there's just some. I remember when I went to UCSB, there was a term called bureaucratic dope, and it wasn't as horrible as it sounds, but you know, yeah, it's kind of, we're 90% there and this stuff is not like health and safety and life threatening. It's about the color of the wood. I mean, can't we just get this approved? Can't we start, you know, or something like that? It would be great. It would be great if that happens. And also, I don't know how many people write articles because, you know, this Independent article was just so dismissive. And I think most people don't understand this process and what it takes and the money. And it would be great. You should write a great column and submit it to the Independent so people can understand. You know, a lot of times the people with real estate agents, they go, you know, well, this guy's making a lot of money. And what the heck is he doing? You're just putting up a sign. But you don't understand what a buyer's agent does. It's grueling and what comes up. My guest, Craig Minas, Land Use Development. So we got State Street. We want to improve State Street. And I got a commercial broker friend, and he was telling me that sometimes the value of commercial brokers, property, can be dependent on the number of cars that drive by. And they're not going to do too well in a mall. and then someone else was talking about window shopping. And it might have been Rick Caruso. And I was thinking the same thing. And I'm don't know anything about this. But if you're walking in the middle of State Street and you're not walking by these stores, and a lot of these stores they were saying are problems because they're very long and narrow. And they're big and that, you know, expensive. So if you want people walking by on a sidewalk, and you know, I want State Street reopened. I want the trolleys back. The city spent a fortune on these brick sidewalks. They're big. They're wide. There's plenty of room for pedestrians. There's bike paths back and forth, up and down. the trolley. And I don't want to drive State Street, but I used to drop my mom off in emergency vehicles. So what do you make of all that? What do you think of what I just said?
Well, I mean, I think State Street's, it's an experiment at this point. I mean, you know, for years we had traffic going up and down State Street. There was always, talk of, from an urban design perspective, you know, what if it was pedestrian only? We got a glimpse in that kind of post-COVID. We went into this kind of flux area where we temporarily, eliminated vehicles from that. I don't know what's the right answer. I mean, there's probably, multiple right answers from a urban planning and design perspective. I think the challenge that we are in today is that we remain in this flux, state where, we're not allowing cars on there, but it's not designed for pedestrian only. And again, kind of going back to the time, concept is, we need to make a decision to move forward. We've had a State Street Advisory Committee working for a long time, trying to envision what State Street looks like for the future. We've had COVID rules put into place and then revoked. And that's all kind of temporary and in the state of flux. And I think the longer we remain in that with no direct vision for State Street, it's going to continue to challenge, what it feels like to be on State Street and the businesses to survive and thrive there. I think there's probably two answers. There's no wrong answer. Pedestrian only or vehicular traffic, there's probably an argument for each of those. I think what the important message is we need to make that decision as soon as possible and move forward. I mean, if we are pedestrian only, I think there's a lot of improvements that can be made. There's a lot of real estate in the old street that should be utilized, and not just for, bikes and pedestrians. That can be re-envisioned. I think my point and my perspective on it now is, we need to be conscious of time and as city leaders and committees, we need to really get our work done with the visioning so, implementation can start happening because, every month that we wait, businesses are challenged and we kind of continue the demise of State Street, which really should be a flourishing and prominent area of the city.
Well, they kind of, my guest Craig Minas owns CAM, Land Use and Development, used to work for the Tobes Group for many years. The city council kicked the can down the road. If the city council had a few hundred million dollars sitting in the bank and they said, let's just take three blocks, let's really change it, make it a real mall, let's do this, that'd be one thing. They're spending this money down at the State Street underpass trying to get people that the funk zone is very populated, trying to make it more inviting for them to come up. Spending a fortune thinking that if the underpass looks good, why don't we go there? I mean, I don't understand that logic at all, but you know what? I hope I'm wrong, and I hope it does bring people over. What do I know? So what about one of the other things that were mentioned at UCSB was mixed use, and you know mm-hmm. something about jurisdictions adopted housing elements to rezone lands. Is that in the downtown area?
Yeah, I mean it's all over. I mean it's been maybe like a year and a half since you and I last spoke. One thing I wanted to highlight was that last year a lot of the jurisdictions underwent their housing element updates, and that's an 8-year plan now for making land available for housing. And that process is kind of largely directed by the state. The state will look at each local jurisdiction you know, City of Santa Barbara, County of Santa Barbara, City of Carp, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, kind of dictate or say that, you know, you need to show that you have land available for housing. And, you know, this process really happened last year. It's for the housing element, the cycle 2023 to 2031. And, you know, recently the states, had a, you know, more keen eye on housing. And, what resulted in that locally was there was, you know, many jurisdictions that had to make additional land available for housing. And they do that by rezoning. And so, you know, I think what we saw locally was that, you know, for the first time in a long time, we are showing sufficient land available for housing. Again, you know, for decades, we really didn't provide the land needed for the housing units. This kind of exacerbated the supply and demand issue. Housing costs rose because, you know, supply is low and demand is high. And, you know, when you look at that over, you know, 5-decade kind of time period, you know, that led to more workers, traveling in from North County, Santa Barbara, or LO, or Ventura counties. You know, our freeways get congested. You know, these workers are spending less time with their family and more time, you know, behind the wheel, sitting in bumper to bumper traffic. And so I think, you know, for the first time in a long time, we've really got, you know, I'm pleased with what's on the horizon. You know, I think the community is talking about, providing, you know, additional housing units for our local workers. I think that's promising. You know, I think what's on the horizon for us, and this kind of ties back to State Street, really, you know, one of the planning concepts that I think is important and we really need to push forward quickly is a concept called adaptive reuse. You know, that's kind of looking at, you know, a reuse of existing buildings, reuses of different, you know, commercial or office buildings that could go to housing. You know, we've seen a reduction in the demand for office space and maybe some retail spaces with, you know, online shopping coming about. But we've also seen a very, you know, large increase in the need for housing. And so, you know, could some of those office buildings or retail spaces be converted to housing? I think that's needed to be looked at. That's needed to be studied. You know, bringing in a critical mass, you know, getting people to live where dining is, getting people to live where shopping is, you know, that's going to provide that critical mass that helps those commercial operations survive. And so, you know, I think we have a real opportunity there. You know, a lot of the infrastructure is built, the streets are there, the you know, utilities are there. But we really don't have the policy that would allow for those commercial spaces to be used for housing. So, you know, I know the city of Santa Barbara is actively working on that. But I really think that that's a critical piece to, you know, making this a successful, equation.
I agree. Craig Minus is my guest. He owns CAM, Land Use and Development. And one of the things that Rick Caruso said at the UCSB Economic Summit was really supported mixed use and, you know, adding. And then there were the commercial broker mentioned there's a lot of projects being built right now that'll open up soon and bring a lot of people downtown. And recently the city council sounds like they rejected putting parking meters downtown and increasing parking rates. So that, I think, is a good thing. I was thinking they could adopt what New York City congested pricing just started. And if you drive in New York City below 60th Street, buses and others are exempt, you pay $15. So we could just put up you know, street blocking barricades with kiosks, and just anyone who wants to drive below Victoria Street or something, charge them $15. Maybe that'll work. They're doing it in New York City. My guest has been Craig Minas, Land Use and Development. If you have any questions, you can reach him at camlanduse.com, CAM, camlanduse.com. And unless you have a final word on the subject, we could say bye for now. Is there something I forgot to ask you? Or
no, I think that was a comprehensive session. I really appreciate all your work. I think it's important, and I'd be happy to be a future guest. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. Send your invoice to the radio station, care of Les Carroll. He'll cut you a check.
All right. I'll hold off on that. Thanks for doing what you did.
All right. And remember, it's a plus to work with Minas. All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a good day.
Okay. Thanks. Bye for now. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Radio Real Estate. That was Craig Minas, CAM Land Use Development. We'll take a break. We've got a couple of properties that sold, and I looked at some housing, some PUDs and condos with some association fees kind of caught my attention. I'll share that with you. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.